Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, chapter 10. And this evening, I want to take just one verse and talk to you again about a tremendous principle for our Christian lives. Proverbs, chapter 10. And if you would direct your attention this evening to verse number 11, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 11. And the scripture says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." You know, the book of Proverbs is a source of divine wisdom for the realities of life. Every time I read through the book of Proverbs, I'm struck with how much is found in just one chapter of the book of Proverbs that is exactly what we deal with every day of our lives. And then when I take the time to really meditate on and drill down and think about the words and the truth that is taught in a single verse of the book of Proverbs, it's amazing how much truth God can pack into just a short statement. Amazing how much wisdom there is, and yet God has been good to make that wisdom accessible to us in simple truth, simple words. So simple, in fact, tonight that children could understand verse 11, and yet so profound that this truth could have a tremendous impact on every one of our lives tonight if we would dare to go out of here and apply the scripture. Now, this particular proverb is a contrasting proverb. And as we spoke a couple of weeks ago about some of the differences in the way that the proverbs are structured, this is a type of proverb that makes two opposite statements, and it's illustrating the same truth as it makes opposite statements. One is a statement about the righteous man and his speech, and the other is the statement about the wicked man and his speech, and contrasting those two. And it reminds us of a very important aspect of our Christian walk that we are all too prone to forget. Yes, how often we neglect to think about what comes out of our mouth. I want you to think tonight, what kind of speech are you known for? Would you be able to say tonight that you are a righteous man or woman and that your mouth is a well of life? Or would there have to be some other description that would be attributed to the type of words that you use? You know, in this verse, it teaches us that there is a practical difference between the speech of a righteous and a wicked man. There is a practical difference concerning what comes out of our mouth. Now, what is interesting about this, and we'll get into our study tonight in just a moment, but just some introductory thoughts here. What's interesting about this is that the heart condition is revealed by what comes out of the mouth, which is a truth that Jesus corroborated, did he not? When he spoke about out of the mouth, or out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It is that which comes out of the mouth is originating from the heart. You and I tend to have a tendency to excuse our sins of speech. For instance, our lying, our angry words, our gossip and talebearing, words of strife and manipulation, criticism. We have justifications and reasons why we talk in those ways when we talk that way. But what is really true is that those sins of speech are saying something about what is in our heart. And when we find ourselves sinning with our mouth, it ought to alarm us because it's alerting us to a condition of the heart that is not right. You and I should all have a desire to have a mouth that is a well of life. You know, I believe this phrase describes more than just the words that are spoken, just the form of the words that come out, but it also refers to the way that those words are spoken. You may be familiar with the fact, for instance, that much of our communication is nonverbal. That we could even negate the things that we say with our words with a difference of body language and posture. Could make a difference in how our message is received. So we know that all of us have the capacity to sin with our speech. Would you agree with that? None of us is perfect. None of us has completely bridled our tongue. We know that there are times that we are not all that we ought to be. But I do want to point out tonight, and I want you to have this in the back of your mind as we go through the study this evening, that all of us should be leaning on the sufficiency of Christ. All of us should be desiring to grow in this important area of sanctification. And so tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few moments about a mouth that is a well of life. What does that mean? A mouth that is a well of life. And as I meditated on this verse, I thought, how could a mouth be like a well? How could a mouth be characterized as a well of life? I came up with at least 7 thoughts. Maybe you'll come up with some more when you go home. First of all, I thought a well requires a lot of effort to dig. Now, in Bible days, it was a little different. Today, we call up the well company and we say, can you send out a truck? I need a well. And they come and they have these big drills and they drill it down 300 feet or however far they need to go and put some casing down and a pump down in there and they say, okay, you're good to go. By the end of the day, you got a well. It's great. But in Bible days, they did it the old-fashioned way. They had to dig it out. Had to shore up the sides with stone. It was a significant investment to dig a well, which is why there weren't many wells. And the other reason there weren't many wells is because it was a dry area. And so a well would be something that was used by a lot of people, but somebody had to put a lot of effort into it. I'm reminded, for instance, of Abraham. And then later, his son Isaac, who dug a lot of wells in the Promised Land. They dug a lot of wells, and you may recall back that those instances with Isaac where the people came along and filled in his wells. He'd dig a well and somebody'd fill it in, or they'd take it away from him, and he just kept on digging wells. But I was reminded of how much effort it is to dig a well. I get tired just digging a little hole in the garden. Thinking if I had to dig way down to find water, I'd give up. I'd order bottled water. There's a lot of effort in digging a well. But then I thought about this. You know, there is a lot of effort and there's a large commitment that must be made on our part to develop the kind of speech that God is pleased with. Now, it would be nice if when we got saved, there would be a switch flipped and all of our bad habits of speech would go away and then we would just have them replaced with good habits and we wouldn't even have to try and everything would change overnight. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But generally speaking, that's not how it works, is it? There's a lot of commitment that's required to changing our way of speaking. And all of us have old habits of speech that have to be ended. Did you ever recognize about yourself that you have some ways of speaking that are not glorifying to God or edifying to others? Did you ever notice that there could be some habits that you have of words that you use and tones of voice that you resort to, and you've got to try to identify those and then go to work trying to get rid of those things? It's easy. It's easy to develop bad habits. They come naturally to us. But if we're going to have a mouth that is a well of life, we're going to have to dig out some of those stones and we're going to have to get rid of some of those old habits. Not only that, then we're going to have to replace them with some new habits. You know what I found is that when you have a way of speaking that is comfortable, but it is sinful, it can be just as difficult to replace that sinful way of speaking with something that is wholesome and glorifying to God. And the reason is because it's uncomfortable. And you find yourself saying those things and you say, but that doesn't seem natural. That's not me. Maybe you're thinking about yourself. I feel like David trying on Saul's armor. This is just not how I talk. You know, for instance, if you begin to notice that sarcasm has become something that is damaging your relationships and it's hurting people's feelings around you, and you say, you know, I want to replace that. That's tough to take sarcasm out of your vocabulary and put something that is wholesome and edifying in its place. So old habits must be ended and new habits must be developed. But you know, even more importantly, the thought patterns behind our wrong speech must be corrected. Because the problem with the way we speak is really the way we think. And so we've got to dig down in our heart and we're going to have to try to identify the thought patterns that are driving the speech patterns. For instance, if you find yourself prone to angry speech, I think if you dig around a while, you're going to find that you have some angry, bitter thoughts. And those angry, bitter thoughts are going to have to be rooted out and they're going to have to be dealt with by the grace of God and with applying the scripture. And you know what? That's hard work. It's a lot easier just to go on the way that we've always been and pretend like everything's fine. But if we're going to have a mouth that is a well of life, there's going to have to be some effort on our part. If you think that you're just going to fall into it, just kind of naturally become the kind of person who has a mouth that is a well of life, you better think again. It doesn't happen that way. There's some effort. But there's a second thought that came to me as I was thinking about a well, and that is this: a well is deep. A well is deep. The church property is serviced by a well, which is located behind the parsonage. And that particular well is just over 300 feet deep. And it has evidently an abundant supply of water. We're thankful that we've never run dry. You think about it, there's a lot of people that use the water from that well. Pretty big pump in there. There's a couple housing units that use that well. The entire church building here, and on a Sunday, there's an awful lot of toilets that are flushing. There's a lot of water fountains that are running and all that sort of thing. But you know, that well is deep. And so because it's deep, there's an abundant supply. They, in the Far East there in Israel, they would need to dig a well fairly deep in order to get down to a place where the water table would refresh that well so that there would be enough for people to drink. They would have to dig down far enough to find a source of constantly renewing water. Shallow wells dry up easily, and they're not very much use. So a well has to be deep. You know, I thought about this. A mouth that is a well of life comes from a deep source. It comes from a deep place. And you say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, we're really continuing what we said there about the effort of digging. It has the idea that God needs to do a deep work in me before I will be able to be blessed to have a mouth that is a well of life. I need God to do some deep digging. It's not comfortable when God starts doing deep digging. Did you ever have somebody dig out a splinter? I was going to say out of your hand, but out of your foot is even worse. I don't know what it is about feet. I don't like anybody touching my feet. And if there's a splinter in my foot, don't come anywhere near it. I remember when I was a kid and would get a deep splinter, and my mom would get out her tweezers and her straight pin, and my dad would have the iodine, and he'd be like, ah, ha, 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 I can't wait. Can't wait to give you iodine. You only think I'm kidding about that. My mom would try to get in there, and you know, at the time, it felt like she was down on the bone trying to dig out a splinter. Of course, it was barely under the skin, but I just thought, oh, she's digging so hard, it's uncomfortable. But you know what? In our life, doesn't God do that kind of work in us sometimes? We open the scriptures and we begin to read, and the Holy Spirit says, that's you. That's how you're acting. That's how you're talking. And we say, oh, hold on, Lord, back up. But you know what? If I'm going to have a mouth that is a well of life, God is going to have to do a deep work in me. A deep work of correction. He's going to have to do a deep work which will bring me to confession. And then I thought, how often in our Christian lives do we just sit and meditate deeply on the truths of God? How often do we sit and think according to a plan that is in accordance with Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8? You remember what that verse says? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. How many of us sit around and think deep thoughts about the good things of God? You know what I find myself doing a lot when I sit down and have a quiet moment? Oh, what's going on in the world? Let me check the news feed. Let me see what's going on out there. Let me see what people have to say. It's hard to have deep thoughts when you're allowing your attention to be frittered away. That's what I've noticed in my own life. If I'm going to have a mouth that is a well of life, I'm going to have some times to meditate deeply on the things that fit the mold of what God says I should be thinking on. I'm going to have to allow the things of God to be developed in me. I have this in my notes. A mouth that is a well of life will not be developed through Facebook memes and surface Christianity. It's not going to happen. The only way it will be developed is through the deep work of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in us. And yet one thing that is lacking in many of our lives, in which we really have to develop the discipline for this, is those moments of quietness, of quiet, restful thought, where we are quiet before the Lord and we allow Him with His Word to do a deep work in us. So a well requires some effort. A well is deep. But then I thought, third of all, a well brings refreshment. A well is a wonderful thing, and especially in that part of the world, think about how refreshing it is to have a drink of cool water on a hot day. I never understood people that wanted to have a Coke or a Pepsi when they were really thirsty. It didn't ever make sense to me. I thought, now, maybe after I got my thirst quenched, I'd be interested in having a Coke or a Pepsi. But what I wanted was some water. What I still want is some water. If I'm thirsty, I want to have a drink of water. When I'm exercising, I want to have some water. Why? Because water refreshes your thirst. Water is something that you long after, that you desire. And if you, in that dry part of the world, if you know where there's a well, it'll be a place where there's some refreshment. And in our text, it says that the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Think about this. The things that we say can be a well of life to the people who hear them. How helpful it can be to offer words of comfort to those who are burdened with care. To come alongside those who have some cares in their life and some burdens, and to say, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. How are you doing? Is there anything that I can do to help? Those kind of words can uplift the spirit, can be refreshing. I thought about how our words can be refreshing and how needful it is to speak a word of truth to those who are confused about the direction of their life. They're trying to figure out, do I go right or do I go left? Do I make decision A or decision B or decision C? And if we have some insight from the scriptures, how clarifying it is to be able to say, you know, I just read a verse yesterday. The Lord just showed me something the other day. Let me share that with you. Maybe it has something to do with your situation. How helpful that is, and how needful it is to give clarity to people who are confused. How life-giving it is to speak the words of God's grace to those who are weighed down by sin. Have you ever met someone who said, God could never forgive me? I'm too far gone. God could never help me. God could never forgive me after all that I've done. What an opportunity for us to speak words of grace to them, to assure them of God's goodness and God's ability to forgive and God's ability to restore. And what an opportunity to comfort those who are weighed down by sin. You know, we live in a world of people that are weighed down by sin. We live in a world of people who have given up. They think, well, God could never help me. But that's not true.
Amen.
How important it is for us to speak words of love and concern to those who are insecure, those who've been forsaken, and those who have been hurt. Listening to what someone else has gone through and speaking to them words that show them that you value them, that you care for them, that you're concerned about them. How refreshing that is. What a wonderful opportunity it is for us to minister grace with our words. And how encouraging it is for us to speak words of hope to those who are struggling with the cares of this life. Just last night, I was speaking with one of our members and had an opportunity to try to encourage her with some hope in the midst of a difficult trial that she's going through, and to try to uplift her spirits and to share with her some things that God had shown to me. What an opportunity God gives to us to be able to use the things that we say to lift someone else up. That's what this verse means when it says that the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now, all of us know what it means to have someone speak genuine words of love, care, affirmation, and encouragement to us. So listen carefully. Why then do we find it so difficult to speak those same kind of words to other people? We all know that we enjoy hearing those kind of things, and it refreshes us and encourages us. Why is it then so difficult for us to speak genuinely to one another of our love and concern and care? Why is it, for instance, that in many families, the heartfelt words, I love you, are almost never heard, but lots of teasing and sarcasm and put downs, etc., etc., are often the norm? Is it because in those families they don't love each other? No, I don't think so. It's because of a mechanism in us that finds it difficult to speak words of kindness to other people. And yet, would you agree with me tonight that it is God's plan for us to speak in this way to those that we love? To those that we care about, and even to people that we don't even know, that we encounter, that we meet, to be able to use our words in a way that is a well of life. A well brings refreshment. Then fourth of all, I thought of this. A well is constantly renewed. Now remember, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. The best kind of well, we are told, is an artesian well. And that just means that it is fed by a spring. Somewhere deep under there in the water table, there's a spring that flows through the water table, and it refreshes the water supply and brings in fresh water and flushes out some of the impurities. And oftentimes those artesian wells are cold and they're clear. And they're clean. and they provide a life-giving source. The well that we have here at church is an artesian well. And so it gives good-tasting water. It gives that type of water that gives life. Water is an interesting thing to study. It's an interesting thing to understand about how water is designed by God and how much our bodies need water, and yet at the same time how water can carry different types of viruses and bacteria and pathogens in it. And if we're not careful, we can become infected through those things, and yet we desperately need the water. In fact, sometimes when people are really thirsty and they find themselves in a survival situation, they'll drink out of a stream or out of a pond or something because they're desperately thirsty, not realizing that they're infecting themselves with some sort of a disease. But for them, it's a case of, well, do I die from thirst or do I take a chance and get a disease? So think about that. A well needs constantly to be renewed. For you and I, we must constantly be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Because if we're not careful, the habits that creep in our speech are sinful. If we're not paying attention, the things that we start to resort to and to fall back in are the old habits, the old ways. And when we're not being diligent, we find ourselves being lax in our speech. And next thing we know, we're saying things that we know we ought not to. We're saying things that we wish we hadn't. We want to take them back. But you know what we need in our lives? We need constantly to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We need God to be refreshing us with the truth of Scripture. Our words, as I said earlier, are often a reflection of our inner condition. When I hear someone who constantly has angry, bitter words, it tells me that there's a condition of the heart. That there's anger and bitterness deep within. Maybe they even cover it over with a bubbly exterior and a smile. And you think, that person, they're not an angry, bitter person. But then when the cork gets pulled off, that's what comes out. You say, ooh, there's something wrong under there. There's something that's not right under the surface that needs to be addressed. There's something that God needs to do. You know, our well needs to be constantly renewed. And of course, this comes through fellowship with God. It comes as we commune with God, and God refreshes us and renews us. And then in turn, we're able to take that which God has done in us and share it with others. Amen. Because, and this is another great picture, you know, God's desire for us is never that we would be a cistern. You know what a cistern is, right? A cistern just holds water. But God wants us to be a well. A well is intended for, a lot of times, the water flowing underneath the surface is flowing through, and then it's intended to be a blessing to others. God wants us to take the renewal that He gives to us and then share that with others. I thought, fifth of all, of this thought, that a well is sought after and desired, particularly in a desert climate. Now, we don't think much about this, actually. How often do we go out somewhere and think, now, I've got to make sure that I have a good supply of water because I don't want to run out. I mean, if I run out of water, I might get thirsty. I mean, most of us just think, well, if I get thirsty, I'll stop at the gas station and buy some water or some tea or some soda or something like that, and it's no problem. I'll stop by Walmart and grab something to drink. My kids are notorious for this. We'll go somewhere, and we'll just have left the house. We'll be 5 minutes away from the house, and they'll say, I'm thirsty. Did you bring your water bottle? No. Well, what do you want me to do? I'm thirsty. But I don't have any water. I'm thirsty. I know you're thirsty, but I don't have any water. What do you want me to do? I need water. And they just wear me down. And finally, I said, look, I'll get you some water. I will go into the store and I will pay $1.50 for two swallows of water. That's what it feels like. When we have a faucet at home and you could have brought gallons if you wanted to. But listen, you got to have water, right? We don't think much about it. But you know, in the desert, when you went somewhere, you thought about having enough water with you. And then they planned their trip based on where the wells were. All the travelers knew where the wells were because without water, you won't last too long in that heat. And you're going to have to pace yourself and travel in such a way that you go by the places where there's water. They sought after water. They sought after the wells. And I thought of this. You know, you and I live in a world that is a desert. As it pertains to how people speak and how people treat one another, we live in a desert. I mean, the norm for how people treat one another and speak to one another is not like a well of life. So if you allow God to give you a mouth that is a well of life, you're going to find that people are going to seek after you. They're going to desire to be around you. They're going to want to know what's up with you, what's going on. Because a person whose mouth is a well of life is so rare, they become someone that others want to be near. Others receive great encouragement from them. Others hear from them words of affirmation and concern, and they're drawn to them. Now, what you're thinking right now, many of you, is, man, I'd like to meet somebody like that. I'd like to find somebody like that to pay attention to me. Most of us are looking for someone to be this kind of person for us, but how many of us are aspiring to be this kind of person? Good. Now, what's interesting is this kind of person is hard to find. They're rare. But the flip side of that is, if you aspire to be the person with a mouth that is a well of life, you'll find no end of opportunities to be a blessing to other people. Because so many people around us are thirsty. I dare you. Try it. Go to Walmart, the most feared location for most of us. Go into the store and look for the first person that you see and look at them and smile. You'd be shocked. Did you ever walk around the store and think, why is everybody so cross in here? Why is everybody walking around like they're angry and cutting people off? Hold a mirror up. Look at your face. I have a feeling that you probably look the same way. We didn't even get to words. Say something with a smile, and it's amazing. You'd be shocked how many people's face will light up with a smile in return. Amen. And you know why? Because most of them haven't seen a smile all day. It's a little thing. It doesn't cost you anything. But then oftentimes you'll have an opportunity to say something to them. Then how much more fitting if we can follow up the smile with some kind of words of encouragement and kindness. You know, people around us are thirsting for that. They're desiring for someone to be kind to them. Someone to show care and concern. A well is sought after and desired. Perhaps you want to have others seek after and desire you, but are you willing to share with them life-giving words, expecting nothing in return? Our biggest problem is we have an expectation. Some of you are going to try it, and you're going to go to Walmart, and you're going to smile at somebody, and they're going to frown back at you, and they're going to say, "What's wrong with you? Why are you smiling at me?" And you're going to say, "See, Pastor was wrong. never going to smile at anybody again. A well is sought after and desired. Are you willing to be this kind of a person? A righteous man has a mouth that is a well of life. I notice this, sixth of all, a well endures changing seasons. A well can remain unchanged, providing water during seasons of drought, during the winter, during the spring, during the summer, during the fall. A deep well, a consistent well, you can go there day after day, every type of different season, and you're always going to find water. You're always going to find what you need. A well endures changing seasons. Do you know in every one of our lives, we go through seasons. We have seasons of joy. We have seasons of sorrow and mourning. We have seasons of plenty, and we have seasons of want. We have seasons of victory, and we have seasons of defeat. But you know what is true about the person whose mouth is a well of life? It doesn't matter what season they are in. They are consistent. Their mouth is always a well of life. Now, I'm not saying that they're fake. I'm definitely not saying that they're phony or counterfeit or hypocritical. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying that even in some of the most difficult and trying circumstances of life, you'll find that this person whose mouth is a well of life is still a well of life. They're still praising God. They're still thankful for all that God has done for them. They may be going through a time of sorrow. And you know what happens? Is while they are going through a time of sorrow and others are coming to minister to them, they end up being a blessing to the people who came to bless them. Good. Have you ever met someone like that? I have. And I go to minister to them and they do more for me than I could ever do for them. Why? Because a well endures changing seasons. You know why this happens? This kind of a person is not depending on other people. They're not depending on the circumstances of life to fill them up. They have found a source that never changes. They found a source of life that is not dependent on the circumstances of, or the treatment or the attitude of others or whatever they're going through. They found something that is very deep, and because of that, they can endure through these changing seasons of life and still have a mouth that is a well of life. I think you might be able to guess where that source is, but we'll get there in a minute. A well endures changing seasons. It'd be nice if you could say, well, if a person is like this in verse 11, if their mouth is a well of life, then they probably never have any trouble. Well, I don't know anybody that's like that. I don't know anybody that's just going to have the season of victory all their life. No, I think there's going to be some struggles that we're going to face. But then that really brings us to the last thought tonight. A well is a source of life. Have you ever thought about this? You cannot live without water. You can go for a little while without water. You could get by for a short time without water, but you know, it's a relatively short time. Your body needs water. Water is so very important. Hydration, doctors tell us, is so critical to proper health. It does all kinds of important things for us. And we're told that a lot of people are chronically dehydrated because they drink the wrong things and they don't drink enough of water and aren't careful. You know, I thought about that. And I thought, water is such a source of life. We don't really appreciate it because we have ready access to it. We don't think much about it. We just go to the faucet and turn it on and get some and turn it back off. And if we have some left in our cup, we just pour it down the drain. But you know, in a lot of places where water is scarce, they never pour water down the drain because that water is so precious. That water is so important. A well brings life. With water, a farmer can grow crops in a dry place, because he can draw the water out of the well and water his crops, and with sufficient water, those crops will grow, and then he can feed his family. That water is so important to life. Water is necessary. You can't live without water. I guess what they're looking for on the Mars rover is water, because they think if they find a drop of water, somebody could live there. I don't know about you. I need a lot more than one drop. And I'm not moving to Mars. So a well is a source of life. How is our mouth like a well of life? Think with me about this. You and I can become a source of life to others if we are careful to allow the Lord to work through us. For instance, we can, with our mouth, speak the truth of the gospel. And as we speak the truth of the gospel, and our mouth is a well of life, the gospel can have an impact on someone, can change them, their life can be transformed, they can receive the life that only God can give. But you know, the way that God works is through you and I being witnesses of the gospel.
Amen.
Using words. When's the last time you used your mouth to speak the truth of the gospel to someone? To give them real hope in a world where there is no hope. So we can speak the truth of the gospel. We also can share words of encouragement. We can look for someone and speak to them. You say, well, I'm not sure who needs encouragement. I don't know, turn right. Look at the person on your right. They probably need some. Turn left. Look at the person on your left. They probably need some. Don't turn around. My mother always told me that was rude. In church, when you heard a noise, you were not allowed to turn around. She'd say, Ronnie, turn around. But I wanted to know what was going on. All right, so don't look behind you. But the person behind you could probably use some encouragement. The person in front of you could probably use some encouragement. The truth is, everybody around you could use some encouragement. What an opportunity to use our words to encourage someone. We can help bear heavy burdens that people are bearing. You say, what can I do? I want to do something. Well, a lot of times just listening, saying a kind word means more than you could ever know. Helps people to know that you're with them, that you're bearing some burdens with them. How about this? You and I can use our mouth as a well of life to pray with and for those that we care about. When's the last time someone was sharing a need with you and you said, do you mind if I pray about that with you right now? That, you know, that's very meaningful. That's even more meaningful than, I'll pray about that later on. Let's pray about that right now. Let's pray about that together. I heard about someone who was encouraged in this way, someone who was dealing with some sickness, and on the phone, she mentioned that to someone else, and that other person said, can I pray for you about that right now? And that was such an encouragement, made such an impression. We can use our mouth in that way. So our mouth can be a well of life. We can share profound words of truth with those who need direction. We can open our mouth and say, you know, here's a scriptural principle that may apply to your situation. Now, don't be bossy and don't try to tell them what to do. But, you know, it's good for us to open our mouth and encourage one another and say, look, here's what the scriptures say. And maybe that'll be a help to you in this time. Those are life-giving words. Do you ever listen to yourself talk? A lot of the stuff we talk about is meaningless. Worthless. Just idle chit-chat. Nothing that God says to us is idle chit-chat.
Amen.
God is very focused. God is very intentional in His communication. And I believe that God wants us to be the same. God wants us to look for opportunities to share words of life with those around us, for our mouth to be a well of life. All right, look at the verse again. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. I'm not going to preach another message. One verse, John chapter 4, and verse number 14. Jesus said this, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Do you know that Jesus is the greatest example of someone who had a mouth that was a well of life? And what God wants to do in your life and in mine is He wants to give us the kind of life that would be springing up within us unto everlasting life. And that's not just so that we can hoard that to ourselves, but it's so that we can go about our own life and we can open our mouth and our mouth can be a well of life. So that when we open our mouth, out of our mouth comes the life that God has put in us by the power of the Spirit of God. And so I ask you tonight, do you experience that kind of an inner life that comes only from the Holy Spirit? Do you experience that kind of intimacy and fellowship with God? Do you know what it is to have the life of God bubbling up inside you through His power? And if you do, and if you're saved, you do. If you do have that, are you sharing that well of water, that life, with others around you? You see, brethren, the way we speak is really important. The way we talk to others around us is really important. The words that we use, God is paying attention because He knows that those words are important. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in His sight. May our mouths be a well of life.